Okay, today we're going to talk about the very special connection that exists between Pesach and Shavuos. The truth is, you could argue that this is a good shiur for right after Pesach, but very often we wake up when it's a little bit too late. So I want to come to Pesach with an understanding of the relationship between Pesach and Shavuos. And what got me thinking about this question is really the way that we refer to the Yom Tov of Pesach in the Nusach HaTfilah. We know that the words that we use in davening are very precise. The matbeah shel tefillah, or the matbeah shel bracha, is always very, very precise and reveals a big secret with regard to the very nature of the Yom Tov. And therefore, we need to think about why and how do we refer to the Yom Tov of Pesach in our davening? How do we refer to the Yom Tov of Pesach in our davening? Zman Chayruseinu. If you look in source number one, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simen Tov Pei Zayin, Seder Hayom, how do we daven on Pesach? Arvis v'shachris u'mincha. Omer Shalosh Rishonos, we say the regular introduction to Shemona Esrei, V'Shalosh Achronos, and the regular conclusion to Shemona Esrei, V'Kedushas Hayom Ba'emtza. Ata V'Chartanu V'Chulu, V'Titein Lanu Hashem Elokeinu, Es Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh, Es Yom Tov Mikra Kodesh Hazeh, Zman Chayruseinu. Now, if it sounds a little bit off from what you're used to saying, the Mishnah Brura writes in source number two, that our minhag is to say Es Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh, Zman Chayruseinu Mikra Kodesh. But the word that defines this tkufa, this zman, is zman chayruseinu. That's how we refer to the Yom Tov at the beginning of Pesach, and that's how we refer to the Yom Tov at the end of Pesach. We don't change it at any point later in the Yom Tov. Shulchan Aruch writes in source number three, Baleil Yom Tov ha'achron, mikad shenal ha'yayin ve'ein omrim zman, we don't say shechiyanu, when we conclude the days of Pesach, on Shvi'i shel Pesach. Ve'omrim b'tfila, says the Ramah in the small print, ve'omrim b'tfila uve'kiddish, zman chayruseinu, kemo b'yom tov rishon. This whole period, from beginning to end, is called zman chayruseinu. Now, I discovered something very interesting this week in the writings of the Chok Yaakov. The Chok Yaakov was Rav Yaakov Reischer, in the late 1600s, early 1700s, the author of the Shavuos Yaakov, the Shalos HaTshuvos Shavuos Yaakov. He wrote a section of Halacha on Pesach, only on Hilchos Pesach, called Chok Yaakov. And he brings there a very interesting tradition. Of course, it's very foreign to what we actually do, but it's important to recognize. He says that some people refer to Pesach as Zman Simchaseinu. What do we call Zman Simchaseinu? Sukkos. We call Sukkos Zman Simchaseinu. But the Chok Yaakov writes in source number four, he writes, Zman Chayruseinu, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, Zman Chayruseinu, Kosov Maharil, the Maharil, one of the Rishonim in the 1300s, recorded many Minhagi Yisrael. V'yesh omrim zman simchaseinu. Mishum simchas tvias mitzrayim. Tvias mitzrayim. We celebrate, what's the simcha? The simcha of the drowning of who? Of the Egyptians. It's a big simcha. Zman simchaseinu. Pesach is zman simchaseinu. Nu, what question do we have on this? What's the problem with celebrating the downfall of the Egyptians? It's against the Gemara. Ma'aseh yadai tovim bayam. The Gemara says that when the Egyptians were drowning in the sea, and the Jews wanted to celebrate, Hashem says, whoa, hold on a second. Ma'aseh yadai, the work of my hand, my creations. You may not like them, I understand, 210 years of slavery, I get it. But ma'aseh yadai tovim bayam, batem omrim shira, and you're going to sing. You're going to say hallel. In fact, we temper the hallel. We don't say a full hallel. We scale back the hallel on Pesach for this reason. We take out drops of wine because we're too scared to. We have a little respect. Human beings died. Very bad human beings. Don't get me wrong. The Mitzrayim were not tzaddikim. But, okay. We try not to make such a simcha out of it. So how could it be that there's a minhag to say Zman Simcha Seinu? Zman Chayru Seinu? Zman Simcha Seinu? So this is the question that the Chok Yaakov raises and says perhaps there's a difference between declaring Hallel to Hashem versus recognizing on our own Zman Simcha Seinu. Of course, in Tefillah we're talking to Hashem. But there's one thing to say, wow, Hashem, Hallel, we're singing over the fact that your Egyptians drowned. And Hashem says, I'm not so happy. They're human beings who I created. I pumped your heart, and I pumped the Egyptian hearts. I gave you a breath of air, and I gave an Egyptian a breath of air. And so Hashem says, I'm not ready to sing Hallel over this. You want to mention more quietly, Zman Simchaseinu, your private Shemona Esrei, uttered in a whisper, okay, maybe. Of course, needless to say, this is not the minhag. And the Chok Yaakov concludes source number four in the last line. Lachain osan hanoagim lomar kain ein limchos biadam. This is an authentic minhag. And therefore, those who do say this, you shouldn't rebuke a person who says this. It's interesting. What happens if the chazan gets up during Chazar Sashatz and says, Yom Chag HaMatzos Hazeh, Zman Simchaseinu. Everyone's going to scream out, Zman Chayruseinu. So it could be, no, maybe it could be that b'di'eved, Zman Simcha Seinu is not, you know, so far off. Aval minhagenu lomar Zman Chayru Seinu. Of course, our minhag is in fact to say Zman Chayru Seinu, but I thought this was a very fascinating insight. Additionally, the fact that at the last day of Pesach, we still say Zman Chayru Seinu is also interesting, no? On the seventh day of Pesach, we're still talking about getting out of Mitzrayim. Didn't we get out of Mitzrayim already? We got out on the Seder night. We've been out for a while. Why are we still saying Zman Chayru Seinu when you come to the end of Pesach? So the Aruch HaShulchan points out in source number 5, Va'omrim b'tfilu v'kiddush Zman Chayru Seinu kabiyam rishonim. The end of Pesach, we continue to use the phrase Zman Chayru Seinu. Af shekvar yatsu mi Mitzrayim. Even though physically we had left the borders of Egypt, ach ar acher kriyas yamsuf v'tfiyas ha-mitzrim nikr Zman Chayru Seinu. But how free did we really feel emotionally, psychologically, knowing the Mitzrayim were still chasing after us? Until we crossed the sea, until we saw the dead Egyptians washed up on the shore, the Jews were still enslaved. So therefore, even on Shvi Shel Pesach, we're still trying to get to that Chayrus. The whole period is one long stretch of Zman Chayrusim. That's how we refer to the Yontov of Pesach in our Davin. Rav Shimon, can we get you a source sheet? Can we pass you a source sheet? We have some extras over here. Right on this side, if you don't mind just passing a couple across. Thanks. Okay, so Zman Chayrus Seinu. Pesach is Zman Chayrus Seinu. What was bothering me this week when I was thinking about this is that how do Chazal define Chayrus? What's the definition of Chayrus according to our sages? How do Chazal define the word Chayrus? What's the definition of a free person? Is it just about running away from your enemy in Mitzrayim? Is that enough to declare Chayrus? I got out of Egypt. Is that enough? Says Chazal in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, in the sixth parak, it's not really a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, parak Kinyan Torah, as we refer to it, the sixth added parak of Pirkei Avos. Am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, b'chol yom vayom baskol yotzeis mehar chorev, every single day a voice comes out from Har Chorev, another word for our Sinai, u'machrezes, and it declares, v'omeres, and it states, oy lahem lebrios, me'al bonus al Torah. Woe to mankind for the disgrace of Torah. Hashem says, I gave you such a beautiful gift called Torah. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, torasi al tazovu. Don't abandon my Torah. And what do we do? Unfortunately, people don't treat the Torah with proper respect. Not in terms of learning it, not in terms of practicing it. So a voice comes out from Har Sinai every day, and Hashem says, so to speak, through that baskel, oy, almost like ki'ilu was a mistake to give humanity my Torah. They don't treat it properly. Okay. Shekol mi she'eino osik b'torah nikra nazuf. A person who doesn't study Torah is considered rejected. Ostracized. Person's in Chayrim. If you don't have Torah, Hashem is very disappointed with you. Ve'omer, says the Mishnah, quoting the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, Va'aluchos maisei elokim hema. The luchos were the work of God, the handiwork of God. Va'amichtav, and the writing, michtav elokim hu, was the writing of the Lord. Chorus ala luchos, etched into the stones. Says the Mishnah, famous Maamar Chazal, Al tikri charus, don't read the word etched, el chayrus, freedom. Person is freed by the luchos. What does that mean? She'ein lecha ben chorin, el mi she'osek b'talmud Torah. A truly free person is a person who what? Who is committed to the study of Torah. That sets a person free. When a person has Torah in their life, they have a certain clarity in life. They're able to make the right choices, the choices that God wants the person to make. So a truly free person who's not enslaved to his natural desires, to his taivas, to the longing of the world, his body's desire for physical pleasure, the person who's able to set himself free and make really good choices, rational decisions, is the person who's what? Who's osek b'talmud Torah. Is the person who studies Torah. And the Mishnah concludes, v'chol misha osek b'torah, tadir, a person who studies Torah consistently, constantly, harezem mis'ale. Such a person is elevated. Such a person is lifted up. So it's very interesting to think that Pesach is Zman Chayruseinu, but Chayrus is achieved through studying Torah. So I would think, in a certain sense, Zman Chayruseinu should be what? Should be Shavuos. That's when we get the Torah. That's Zman Chayruseinu. Chorus ala luchos, al tikri chorus ala chayrus. She'ein lecha ben chorin ala misha osik b'talmud Torah. Now I want to just mention in parentheses here something that one of my Talmidim, Neil Badner, told me 8 years ago. A beautiful remes, an amazing remes. Neil Badner from across the street. Neil Badner said, I don't know what made him do this gematria. It's a different type of gematria, a different type of remes. What's the gematria of this phrase? She'ein lecha ben chorin ela mi she'osek b'talmud Torah. 2,448. Anyone know why that's interesting? What year was Kabbalah Satorah? What year was Atiyah Satrayim? 2,448 from creation of the world. 2,448. She'ein lecha ben chorin ela mi she'osek b'talmud Torah is exactly gematria 2,448. From creation of the world, according to the Jewish calendar, year 2448 was the year we left Egypt, and the year that we came to receive the Torah. What an amazing thing. So we see, even in this remez, we see a link, somehow a hint, to the relationship between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalah Satorah. Why is Shavuos not Zman Chereseinu? Shavuos should be Zman Chereseinu. I'm not saying that Shavuos has a bad way of describing it. What do we say in the davening on Shavuos? We say Zman Matan Torahseinu. That's fine, that makes sense. But why is Pesach Zman Cheiruseinu? If the definition of Cheirus is the study of Torah, so what does that have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? What we're about to learn is that there's a very powerful and strong link between getting out of Egypt and getting to Kabbalah Satorah. Those two things can never be separated. It can be very dangerous for a person to have freedom, but not to know where to go with that freedom. I shared in the Shir earlier this week, I referenced a movie that maybe some of us saw once upon a time, Shawshank Redemption. In Shawshank Redemption, if you remember, Brooks gets out of jail after 50 years, based on the Stephen King novel. Brooks gets out of jail after 50 years. You can imagine, a free man. And what does he do? He kills himself. Why? Because there's a tremendous danger. When a person has freedom and doesn't know where to go with that freedom, it becomes destructive. I was better off in jail where I had a Seder in my life. So there's a tremendous danger when Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, that as free people, they could become barbaric people. They could become the oppressor now. They need to channel that freedom towards something holy. So therefore, there's always a strong relationship between Pesach and Shavuos, between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kabbalah Satorah. And maybe that's the first beginning of an explanation as to why we have to refer to Yetzias Mitzrayim as the Yom Tov of Pesach as what? Zman Cheiruseinu. Don't let your leaving of Egypt leave you in no man's land. Don't get stuck in between. Make sure you go straight from the redemption from Egypt to Har Sinai to receive Hashem's Torah. Where do we see that reflected even in the halacha? Very interesting halacha. Take a look in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 7. The Shulchan Aruch describes the end of the Seder. After you ate the meal, source number 7, Acher Kach, Mosgin Lo Kosh Shlishi, at the end of the meal you pour the third cup, Umavarech Alav Birchas Hamazon Obrei Priya Gafen. Of course, you hold that cup, you bench over that cup, you recite Brei Priya Gafen, and you drink the third cup. How many cups do we have at the Seder? 4 cups of wine. Says the Shulchan Aruch, V'lo yishta yayin beino l'kos revi. Do not drink additional wine between the third and fourth cup. So I'll ask you, when do we drink the second cup? At the end of Magid. Am I allowed to drink additional cups between the second and third cup? You can. If you enjoy drinking wine during the meal, during Shulchan Aruch, you want to drink a third cup, a fourth cup, a fifth cup, a sixth cup. All right, that's your choice, right? At that point in the meal, you're allowed to drink. But between the third and fourth cup, lo yishta yayin beino lekos revi, you can't drink additional wine between the third and fourth cup. Why not? And if I can drink as much as I want during the meal, then I'm apparently not so concerned about getting drunk. What's happening at the end over here between the third and fourth cup? Don't drink between the third and fourth cup. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, it's not on the page in front of you, the Mishnah Berurah explains one of two possibilities. Maybe it's going to make you drowsy, and you're not going to finish the meal. You're not going to finish the halal, rather. Right? You still have what to do tonight. So if you start drinking a lot at the end, you're going to fall asleep and you're not going to finish halal. Okay, maybe. The other possibility is Nira Kemosif Alakosos. It looks like Baal Tosif. The rabbis instituted 4 cups. So now you're having 12 cups. So, why am I allowed to drink then between the second and third cup? Okay, good question, not for now. But Mishnah Berurah gives practical reasons why I can't drink between the third and fourth cup. Either it's going to make me sleepy and I'm not going to finish the Seder, or I'm going to end up looking like I'm adding on additional cups. I'm not going to know that the rabbis instituted 4 cups. But Bipnimius, on a deeper level, what's the idea you can't drink between the third and fourth cup? We know there are 4 Lashonos of Geula, 4 expressions of redemption. Votsesi, Vitzalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti. The third cup is the cup of Vigaalti. The fourth cup is the cup of Vilakachti. I can't break between Vigaalti and Vilakachti. I can't separate between the redemption and v'lakachti aschem lila'am, and becoming Hashem's people. Why? Because then again, a person gets stuck in the middle. There's a tremendous danger of a person having freedom and not channeling it towards something holy. So therefore, says the halacha, you can't drink between the third and fourth cup. The purpose of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the purpose of the redemption, has to what? Immediately give you the opportunity to now choose to live your life in accordance with the Torah. There can't be a break between the Viga'alti and the Vilakachti. Rav Meir Shapiro, who is the founder of the Daf Yomi, the Lublina Rav, said an unbelievable remez. Rav Meir Shapiro said that the gematria of Yitzias Mitzrayim, 891, is exactly gematria Nasa V'Nishma. Yitzias Mitzrayim is exactly gematria. The numerical value of Yitzias Mitzrayim is exactly Nasa V'Nishma. What's the pshat? Because if my Yitzias Mitzrayim doesn't turn into a Nasa V'Nishma, then I've got a big problem. If my salvation from Egypt doesn't turn into an acceptance of Torah, then I've got a really big problem. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is Nasa V'Nishma. That a Jew should come to the mountain and declare, I am prepared to do whatever you say, Hashem. Because I don't want to be a person who has freedom and doesn't know what to do with it. A Torah true Jew understands that my freedom allows me the opportunity to now serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as we learned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ein lecha ben chorin elamisha osik b'talmud Torah. A couple of years ago, Tavshin Ayin Gimel, I had a thought on this Mishnah. I want to share it with you. It says, Ein lecha ben chorin elamisha osik b'talmud Torah. So sometimes a person says, listen, you know, I'm a big head of a hedge fund. I'm a very successful guy. I have a lot of responsibilities in the world. I have lots of different ways, right, that I'm able to express my ability to live a free lifestyle. I'm the head of a company. I have many people who work for me. I'm a free person. I dictate to others what to do. I have enough money in the bank account to travel where I want, when I want. I'm a free person. My neighbor, who's not so successful in business, for him, he should learn Torah and that'll make him free. I have other ways of experiencing my freedom. Says the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ein lecha. Ein lecha, ben chorin, elamisha osi b'tam Torah. You, the guy who thinks that I don't really need so much Torah in my life. No. Ein lecha, you're going to become a slave to your business. You're going to become a slave to your wealth. You're going to become a slave to your success. Ein lecha, you, each and every one of you, in the singular, Ein lecha, you. Every person has to realize, Ein lecha, ben chorin, there is no Jew in the world who experiences true freedom in this world unless what? It's not enough to get away from your oppressor in Mitzrayim. You have to come to Kabbalah Satorah. You have to go from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Nasa V'Nishma. Exactly the same gematria. No break between the third and fourth cup. And that's really the relationship between Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach and Shavuos, we look at them often as two different Yom Tovim. The truth is, it's really just one big Yom Tov. The famous words of the Ramban. The Ramban, Nachmanides, said that Pesach is, so to speak, the beginning of the Yom Tov. Sviras HaOmer, the Ramban writes, is like one long Chol HaMoed. And Shavuos is the end of the Yom Tov. Why is the Ramban painting such a picture for us? What do you mean Pesach has a Yom Tov that starts at the beginning? And then Shri Shal Pesach, with Chol HaMoed in the middle. What do you mean this whole period is one big Chol HaMoed? But the Ramban again is reminding us of the link between what? Pesach and Shavuos. There can't be a break between Pesach and Shavuos. The reason God took us out of Egypt is to give us the opportunity to learn His Torah. And therefore, Yitzias Mitzrayim has to translate into a Nasa V'Nishma. I have to take that freedom, and I have to bring it to what? To Torah. And that's why Pesach is called Zman Cheirusenu. Cheirus means Torah. It's a reminder to the Jew who left Mitzrayim, don't stop now. If you stop now, you're going to end up in a dark place. It's unbelievable. That example I gave from Shawshank Redemption, there's studies about it. About people who get out of jail and don't know what to do with their freedom, and they become terribly depressed. They miss being in jail. Where do I go now? So Hashem says, don't you dare stop between that third and fourth cup. Take Pesach and take it all the way to Shavuot. Zman Cheirusenu. Realize Pesach, the freedom of Pesach is only complete once you're Mekabel the Torah. The Imrei Emes, the Ger Rebbe, the third Ger Rebbe, in source number 8, in his writings on Pesach from the year Tafresh Samach Tes, says very beautifully that Pesach is really just an introduction to Shavuot. Pesach is Zman Cheirusenu, v'hu hachana l'shavuos. Pesach is the time of our freedom, and this is a preparation for Shavuos. Shezeh ha-tachlis shel yitzias Mitzrayim. That's the point of getting out of Mitzrayim. Hashem was not just saving us from under the whips of the Egyptians. Hashem was offering us the opportunity to become His people. And therefore, the purpose of yitzias Mitzrayim is to come to Kabbalah Satorah. Kemoshe kasub b'matan Torah, the Imrei Emes says, it's hinted to in the first words God ever said to us. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Would you like to be my people? Because I'd like to be your God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm offering you the opportunity to be your God. And you know why that's a really good idea? Asher hotzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because that's why I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of Egypt to have the opportunity to now serve me. B'yasiyas Mitzrayim adayin ha'yitzahara. Says the Imre Yamis, when we left Mitzrayim, we still had yitzahara. Su'ur shebi'isa. As Chazal referred to it, the chametz, the leaven in the dough. The chametz that we avoid on Pesach is the yitzahara. Kidichsiv va'yomru ha'meblien kfareh b'Mitzrayim. These crazy Jews, they keep asking God, can we go back to Egypt? Why are you going back to Egypt? You're like the person who got out of jail and doesn't know what to do with himself. But as we came to Torah, got closer to the mountain, we started to find the purpose in our life. When the Jews finally had true freedom, they weren't running back to Mitzrayim at all. The Torah taught them in three places a Jew doesn't go back to Mitzrayim. It's prohibited for a Jew to return to Egypt. We learned the Pirkei Avos, Al Tikri Charis El Cheirus, She'ein Lecha Ben Chorin El Misha Osik B'Talmud Torah, Hainu Cheirus Me'etzahara. The only way to really get out of Mitzrayim is to come to Kabbalah Satorah. Barasi Yetzahara, I made the Yetzahara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. As the Gemara says in Kedushin, Torah is the antidote to the Yetzahara. And if you don't have Torah, then you're still a lowly slave. Okay, so you're no longer, again, under the hands of the Egyptian masters. But you're still a low person. You're not a person who has a purpose in his life. And therefore, Hashem invites us to the Torah, invites us to Kabbalah Satorah, invites us to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. That's the antidote to the Yetzirah. Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Lo Torah Tav. I'll just mention, it's interesting. Some Svarim see matzah as edible Torah. I'll say that again. Some Svarim see matzah as edible Torah. In fact, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, David Melech says, Visoroscha Bisoch Me'ai, the Torah is Bitoch, is within my innards. So the Ger Rebbe said, the Leiv Simcha, the Ger Rebbe said, that's a reference to matzah. When do we put Torah into our innards? Where do we find the concept of edible Torah? Matzah. Chametz is the Yetzirah. Ingest some Torah, eat some matzah. And you'll see, they have the ability to respond to what? To the Yetzirah. You'll be able to fight back. I'll share with you something very interesting. I mentioned this morning to some of my Talmidim in YU. It's a little strange. You have to be a believer in Tzaddikim to believe this idea. The word Tzaddikim, you know, everyone knows what Braille is, right? Braille, for a blind person, Braille. There were some tzaddikim would take the matzah, this is true, some tzaddikim would take the matzah with all of its little bumps, and they would run their fingers across it with their eyes closed, and they would read the matzah. They would read the message in the matzah. Now, I don't know what they were reading. The tzaddikim say this, they could feel Shemos HaKadoshim, holy names, Kabbalistic names of God. They would read the braille, the bumps on the matzah, from rolling the matzah, they would read the bumps on the matzah. It was like a Torah to them. They could read it. It was a book. They could read it. Right? Because they understood that the matzah is Torah. The matzah is Torah. That's how we defeat the Yetzirah. That's how we achieve a true sense of freedom. And therefore, the whole process of Sfiras HaOmer, I know we're getting a little ahead of it, but I'm not even at Pesach yet. But if I give you this year after Pesach, you're going to say, I didn't have the right kavanah for Pesach. The whole purpose of Sfiras HaOmer is to internalize what we already got a taste of on Pesach. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin in source number 9. V'ikr klitas HaKadusha mechag HaPesach Haya b'shvuas zman matan torasenu. Klita. What does klita mean? The absorption. The absorption of the kedusha. Pesach, we have the Torah in potential. But we don't yet understand that. It takes time to absorb that. It takes time to get there. So for 7 weeks, Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting our way towards Kabbalah Satorah. But we already got a taste. The reason we left Mitzrayim is to get the Torah. So from Hashem's perspective, we already have the Torah. Says Rav Tzadok, quotes our Maimur Chazal, Ein lecha ben chorin, al misho osik b'torah. Charis ha'aluchos, cheres ha'aluchos. Look what he writes here, second line in the middle. Rak b'Torah nichtav al shvi de Pesach. How does the Torah describe the seventh day of Pesach? Atzeres la'Hashem Elokecha. In Mishnaic language, what is atzeres? Shvuas. Atzeres is a word we use for shvuas. Why are we describing the seventh day of Pesach as atzeres? Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, a beautiful insight. From God's perspective, Hashem says, I already see Shavuos. When you left Mitzrayim, Hashem says, it's clear to me there's only one destination. Shavuos, Atzeres, as it's called in the Mishnah. Shvi Yishal Pesach is called Atzeres Hashem Lokecha, Shemitzad Hashem Yisbarach, Ra'oz Shekvar Niklat HaKadusha. Hashem says, I see the Torah has already been absorbed inside of you. When you ate that matzah, the Torah is inside you already. You don't see it yet. So you know what? Let's spend the next 7 weeks working on it. We'll count and we'll count and we'll get towards Kabbalah Satorah. And then, when you're standing at the foot of the mountain, it'll become clear to you what I already knew 7 weeks earlier. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is hinting to us again, I see the salvation, the freedom of Pesach, as being mamish, deeply connected to the celebration in the Yom Tov of Shavuos, of Kabbalah Satara. What made Galus Mitzrayim so difficult? We just got out of Egypt, we went all the way to Shavuos, now we got to go back. What made Galus Mitzrayim so difficult? Why were the Jews having such a hard time? Why is it that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to redeem them, and Moshe's talking really positive, good things, the Jews say, we don't hear it. Not hearing it. Why can't they hear it? The Pasuk says, Mikotzer ruach u'me'avod akasha. Because they're so broken. Kotzer ruach literally means shortness of breath. They're winded. They're burnt out. They're completely burnt out. They're working so hard. The avod akasha Mitzrayim, the backbreaking labor of Egypt, the Jews, their brains, just they can't process. Kotzer ruach. They're winded. I can't even catch my breath. Don't tell me about redemption. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in source number 10 in Parshas Va'era. Mikotzer ruach. What else does the word ruach mean? Kotzer ruach doesn't just mean they were short on breath. They were tired. Ruach means what? Leif tahor barali alokim v'ruach nachon chadesh b'kirbi. Ruach means spirit. Kotzer ruach means their spirit was what? Was small. They had a small spirit. Right? Their belief. Their spiritual aspirations were very shrunken. Why? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Ulai ki litzad shelo hayu b'nei Torah, lo shamu. If you don't have Torah, your mind's not even open. Your brain can't even process. Moshe talks about a simple reality that he sees called what? Geula. And the Jews say, nah, no such thing. Their brains can't absorb it because they don't have Torah. Torah Hashem tamima meshivas nafesh. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, when a Jew has Torah, it settles one's mind, it settles one's soul. They have kotzer ruach. They're small-mindedness. They can't get out of Mitzrayim. V'lezeh yikra kotzer ruach. Look at these words. They're beautiful. Ki ha-Torah miracheves libo shel Adam. Because Torah expands your mind. Torah broadens your heart. Torah makes you a big person. So in Mitzrayim, one of the reasons we were so stuck there is simply the fact that what? If you don't have Torah, you can't process things. You can't live. You're a slave. A life without Torah is a life of slavery. Your mind shrinks up. You see the world in such small proportions. Instead of seeing the world in its glorious big strokes, the way Hashem wants you to see it. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in the Emes LeYaakov, actually, it's very interesting. Because when did the Jews experience this kotzer ruach? Paro says, you got to make the Jews work harder. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro, let the Jews go. I'm not letting the Jews go. Not only am I not letting the Jews go, I'm going to make them work harder. They're going to have to work extra. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky tells us, that the Medrash explains that on Shabbos, the Jews used to learn Torah. The Torah wasn't given yet. Says the Medrash, they had scrolls, Torah scrolls, not Torah in the five books of Moses like we have, some type of scroll that had some type of Torah tradition from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the Jews would be mechazik themselves once a week by sitting and reading these scrolls. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, however, look where it's bolded in source number 11, bottom section. The Jews had a little bit of something that resembled Torah. That up until this point, when Paro took away their Shabbos, because Moshe says, I'm taking the Jews out, the Jews were able to have a little bit of a connection to Torah ideas. They had these scrolls that they used to study every week. But when Paro took away what? Their Shabbos, and they couldn't sit and read these scrolls anymore, and now they really had no Torah, says the Pasuk, Kotzer Ruach. Their spirit was crushed. Their minds were made small. Their hearts were made small. Torah is merachemes es libo shel Adam. And therefore, part of the suffering of Mitzrayim, part of the reason we struggled so much in Mitzrayim, is because what? It's because we didn't have Torah. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanza Rav's daughter, came to visit him once. The Divrei Chaim lived in Poland. His daughter, who was married to Rav Mordechai Dov of Hornsteipel, lived in Russia. So she comes to spend some time with her father. And when she's leaving the Divrei Chaim, she's leaving her father, she says, Tati, you know, I can't go back to Russia. I just can't. He said, why? What's wrong? He says, in Russia, they're so oppressive to the Jews. I don't know why I live there. I got to get out of there. They're so oppressive to the Jews. And she says a lashon like this. She says to her father, she says, in Russia, they're so bad, it's worse than Paro in Mitzrayim. I'd rather be in Mitzrayim than be in Russia. That's what she said to her father. So the Divrei Chaim got very serious. Very stern look on his face, said, you're totally wrong. You have something in Russia that the Jews in Mitzrayim didn't have. What is that? Torah. You live in a time when the Torah has been given. If you have Torah, you can be bigger than the terrible decrees of the Russian government. You have the ability to expand your mind, to be bigger than that difficult situation. In Mitzrayim, the Jews didn't have Torah. In Mitzrayim, Kotzer Ruach, the Jews had no way of sustaining themselves. And now we understand in a new way something that many of us have heard before. The Jews were on the 49th level of Tumah. You've heard this idea? Most of us have heard this idea. The Jews in Egypt, of the 50 levels of impurity, had sunk into level 49. And had they waited a second longer, they would have sunk to level 50, a point of no return. That's hinted to in a pasuk in Shmos, in source number 12. The pasuk says the Jews left with their dough, which hadn't had a chance to rise. It was matzah, not chametz. They got chased out of Mitzrayim. It says the pasuk, v'lo yachlu lihis mamea. They could not wait a moment longer. Why couldn't they wait? Why couldn't they wait? The Egyptians were chasing them out. Says the Arizal, they couldn't wait because had they remained in Egypt a second longer, they would have fallen to level 50. And level 50 is the point of no return. So I'll ask you, is there really such a thing as Jews? Do we believe in a point of no return? Is there such a thing as a point of no return? A Jew could always do tshuva. What does it mean? What did the Arizal mean when he said the Jews sunk to level 49, but had they sunk into level 50, they'd never be able to recover from such a place? Why? Another question. Why did God let them sink to 49? Why not get us out at 48 or 47 or 23? So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains in source 13, the reason we have to go into Gullus, it's a very deep Kabbalistic idea, is to collect sparks. Sparks of holiness that were scattered around the world from the time of Adam Rishon Sin. We're on a spark collecting mission. In Mitzrayim, there were a lot of sparks. We got them all out at the last minute, and that's why we don't go back to Mitzrayim, because we're done. The mission there is done. If you're still living in New Jersey or New York or anywhere else in the world, there's still sparks to collect, and that's why we're here. That's what we're doing here. We should gather up the sparks quickly and return to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Right? The 49th level of Tumah meant that the Jews went down into low places, into dark caverns, right? into deep tunnels, in order to what? In order to recover the sparks from that place. But level 50, that they couldn't recover. There was something they couldn't recover. Why couldn't they recover level 50? Whatever that means, the spiritual sparks that were on level 50, why couldn't they get them? And why, if they went there, if they lowered themselves down into those caves to retrieve those sparks of holiness, they would have gotten stuck in those caves? You can't get out of level 50, why not? What is this level 50, and what does it take to get out of it? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, where it's bolded in source 13. The reason that level 50 was so dangerous in Egypt, because without Torah, a Jew can get stuck. Without Torah, a Jew can get stuck. You might physically be freed from your oppressor, but if you don't attach yourself to God, you're going to get stuck. You'll get lost somewhere in limbo. It's very dangerous. So Klal Yisrael, when they didn't have Torah in Egypt, they could not put themselves in that danger of level 50. But now he says, in the end of days, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, now that we do have Torah, we can go on the most dangerous missions of all. We can go into level 50 and retrieve those last sparks and bring us back to Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh. That's the mission of a Jew who has Torah. But until you have Torah, you can't risk that. What an unbelievable idea. What an amazing idea. You ever wonder why Hashem has left us in Gaul for the last 2,000 years? It's almost 2,000 years since we had a Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't Hashem think that this is going to destroy us at some point? You meet a lot of Jews, unfortunately, who have strayed pretty far from their Judaism. So why isn't God pulling us out? Hashem says, nah, you'll figure it out. You'll find the way back. How are you going to find the way back? What tool, what weapon are you going to use to fight your way back? And the answer is simple. You have the ultimate tool, the ultimate weapon, which is called the Torah. And if you have the Torah, even if the world descends to the lowest levels, as I think we're seeing before our own eyes, a Jew has Torah. He finds his way back with Torah. Imagine what the Jewish people would look like. Think about it for a second. Imagine what all of us and our families and our communities, imagine what we would look like without Torah. What would we look like? What if the Jews got out of Mitzrayim and didn't have Torah? You know what discusses this? Rav Zalman Saratsky. Rav Zalman Saratsky in his Haggadah Shel Pesach, Hashir VaHashevach, in source 14, says, can you imagine what the Jewish people would look like in Mitzrayim had we not gotten the Torah? He says where it's bolted, Tochazi, come and see. Let's think about this together. Ma bein yadus b'li Torah, what would a Judaism, a nationhood, our people look like without a Torah, hamuvuseses al leumios shalashon shemos ubegadim leumim. If we would just have a cultural language, cultural names, cultural clothing, which we had in Mitzrayim, they didn't change their names, they didn't change their language, they didn't change their clothing. We had those things in Egypt. But we were on the 49th level of Tumah. So apparently, having a Jewish-sounding name, and having a Jewish-sounding language, and having Jewish-looking clothing, is really not enough. Imagine the difference, he says, between that, lebein yadus shel Torah, between a spiritual life that is filled with the beauty of Torah. Avoseinu hayu b'Mitzrayim rak redu shana. The Jews were, look at this, these are beautiful words. Listen to these words. The Jews were in Mitzrayim 210 years. Says Rav Zalman Saratskin, the Jewish people were there for a mere 210 years, and they were so integrated into the Egyptian society that the only thing that kept them apart from complete destruction, had they waited a second longer, they would have been stuck there forever. All they had was what? They had some simanim. They had signs of a Jewish nationality, language, clothing, but they would never have survived. 210 years, we were completely falling apart. A Jew can't live by wearing just a Magen David around his neck. It doesn't work like that. It's very nice. It's an expression of Jewish pride. I have a Jewish name. I speak a couple words of Hebrew. Right? I walk down the street. I see a fellow Jew. Shalom. Right? That's not gonna work. 210 years, it was over. V'anu la'achar shekibalnu es ha-Torah, says of Zalman Saratskin, after we received the Torah, hininu nimtsaim karov la'alpayim shana begalus. 2,000 years we've been sitting here, and we're still here. We don't live with a sense of one more second and we're dead. The Jews in Mitzrayim, one more second and it was over. Because if you don't have Torah, you could fall apart. If you have Torah, galus could drag on and drag on and drag on. V'afal pichin am Yisrael chai v'kayim. The Torah is shomer, Klal Yisrael, protects us. As long as you have the Torah, there's a way for a Jew to survive. We're going to say in about a week, believe it or not, we're going to be sitting at the Seder, and we're going to be trying to recall what was it that gave us the strength. How did we survive? It stood by us. For our forefathers and ourselves. Shalo echad bilvad amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. For so many generations, they're trying to get rid of us, but vihi sha'amda, but it has protected us. What's the it? What's the vihi sha'amda? The Vilna Gaon explained. The vav is the shisha sidrei mishnah. The hey is the chamisha chumshei Torah. The yod is the asara sadibros. And the aleph, he says, is a Jew's shema yisrael Hashem elokeinu Hashem echad, clinging to the oneness of Hashem. I guess you could also say the aleph stands for anochi Hashem elokecha, the words that we heard from God Himself at our Sinai. Vihisha Amda, the Svarim explained, the Vilna Gaon brings this remez. Batzal Radinsky from Muncie has a beautiful essay in one of his Svarim, the Mishkan Batzal, about this. Vihisha Amda, what protected us? What keeps us Jewish? Torah. You can't just be free. You have to attach that freedom to Torah. And that's what protects us from our enemies. When a Jew clings to Torah, the more Torah you have in your life, the more free you are. Rav Chaim Brim, Zatzal, was walking to Shul Pesach morning one year. A yid comes over to him, listen carefully, stops him in the street and says, Rabbi, I need to tell you the dream I had last night. I had a gematria in my dream. Ready for this one? He's going to knock your socks off. Rav Chaim Brim's walking to Shul Pesach morning. A Jew stops him and says, Rabbi, I had a gematria in my dream last night. Kol hamarbe l'saper b'yisiyas Mitzrayim hareza meshubach. That's what we say. That's the refrain in the Haggadah. Kol hamarbe l'saper, the more you talk about yisiyas Mitzrayim, hareza meshubach, the better. Some Svarim say, "Harei zeh meshubach, you become better." So this fellow says, I had this dream last night, and this was revealed to me in my dream. And it's correct, you can check it. Kol hamar b'lesaper b'yisiyas Mitzrayim, harei zeh meshubach, is gematria 2,148. Which is exactly the gematria of Zraim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, Kodshim, Taras. The Shisha Sidra Mishnah. Kol hamar b'lesaper, the more you're connected to Torah, harei zeh meshubach. All types of Torah, Zraim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, exactly 2,148. So therefore, we have to come into the Yom Tov of Pesach, not only celebrating the fact that we got away from the Egyptians. A Jew comes to Pesach, it's the beginning of the celebration of Shavuos. It's the beginning of absorbing how special it is to be a Jew. what a schus it is to have the Torah. And it's so important for us to each realize, Torah is given to each person on his own madriga. What an amazing thing. Is there any other book in the world that's for everyone? A book that my, you know, third grade daughter reads. She likes to read. Zahava likes to read. So the books that Zahava reads, right, are not really fit for her three-year-old brother. And not fit for her 12-year-old sister, although she sometimes reads her books. A math book. A first grade math book. Is that of any value in terms of studying it and reviewing it to a college professor of mathematics? And is the college math textbook, which is filled with more letters than numbers, even is that even math to a first grader? What's so amazing about the Torah? The Torah is the same book for everyone. You could be a first grader learning the Torah. You could be the Gadol HaDor, reviewing the Parsha. Says the Maharal of Prague in the second to last source, Baruch HaMakum Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah La'amo Yisrael. Says the Maharal, what comes right next to that? Keneged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. Says the Maharal, what's the connection between these two? What do the four sons have to do with thank you Hashem for the Torah? That's the question the Maharal of Prague asked 500 years ago. Rav Chaim Brisker is quoted in the final source in the Haggadah Shel Pesach Mibeis Levi, an amazing insight. Rav Chaim Brisker said, what's the connection between thank you Hashem for the Torah? There's a Chacham, there's a Rasha, there's a Tam, there's She'enoi De'alishol. What does that have to do with thank you for the Torah? And the answer is that the Torah is relevant to the Chacham in his way, and to the Rasha, can also get him going in his own way with Torah, and the Tam, She'enoi De'alishol. Where do we have a textbook that is for first graders and for the greatest geniuses of that same you know, wisdom, of that same study? Where do we find such a thing? There's only one textbook in the world. It's called the Torah. And therefore, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hu. Baruch Shanasan Torah La'am Yisrael. Thank you for giving us a Torah that each person in their own way has the opportunity to engage in that Torah. This is V'hisha Amda. The Torah has protected us throughout the generations. Pesach, Zman Cheiruseinu. Ein Lecha Ben Chorin, El Misha Osek, B'Talmud Torah. I want to conclude with a story. After the war, Rabbi Yitzchak Herzog was presented by a senior British official, an officer, with something that he found in Hitler's bunker. This is a true story. Hitler's bunker, where Hitler killed himself, there were two Jewish books. One was the Gemara Pesachim, which was given to Rabbi Herzog. And the second one, which was given to Chaim Weizmann, was a Rambam, a volume of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. And you kind of wonder, why did Hitler have Jewish books in his bunker? Why did he have Jewish books in his bunker? We could only, you know, theorize and philosophize about why that might have been. But it could be that Hitler was reminding himself, these Jews, as long as their Torah is still out there, I can't beat them. I got to get rid of these books also. It was a reminder to himself. This is what I'm fighting against. The same way you put up a picture of your enemy on the wall, this is my enemy, the Torah. But of course, the Torah prevailed. Even from the Shar Nun, from the gas chambers of Auschwitz, Klal Yisrael were able to emerge. And you know what was created as a zecher, as a memorial, Berlin's memorial to the murdered Jews, just a few blocks away from that bunker? There's a very strange memorial that was created there. It was created by a non-Jewish artist. He took slabs of concrete and he spread them out and he made some type of memorial for the murdered Jews of Berlin. Berlin's memorial to the murdered Jews of Europe. How many slabs of concrete did this artist happen to put in his display? You ever hear this? 2,711 slabs. So they asked him, 2,711 slabs, was that number based on anything? No. Random. To us, it's not so random. How many pages are there in Shas? How many daf are there in Shas? 2,711 pages. V'hisha amda lav osenu v'lanu. And the last thing I'll say tonight, my brother, a number of years ago, made a video for JEC, for their dinner, 2 years ago. And there was a beautiful piece in the video, which was recognizing a survivor of the Holocaust. And a young girl spoke in the video, and they were celebrating, they were remembering the great Yeshua that the survivor had. And there was a Sefer Torah that was being dedicated, a Sefer Torah that had emerged from the ashes of the Holocaust. A Torah that had been restored. And this young girl said such a profound thing on the video, it stuck with me in such a deep way. She said such a beautiful thing. She said, the truth is, this old man, maybe it was her grandfather, I don't remember, is a survivor of the Holocaust. And this Sefer Torah is also a survivor of the Holocaust. And one of the sad things about time moving forward is that there's not so many survivors of the Holocaust anymore. The people who survived the Holocaust, unfortunately, are becoming less and less with each passing year. But the Torah that survived the Holocaust will live forever. That's what the little girl said. what the young girl said. The Torah that survived the Holocaust will live forever. And that's really true. Because v'hisha amdal lavoseinu v'lanu. So mir tzashem, we should come to Zman Chayruseinu with not only an appreciation of escaping Egypt, but a deep, deep recognition of the unbelievable gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, the Torah. That Pesach is the beginning of an exalted period all the way to Shavuot, Zman Chayruseinu, to become truly free Jews who study Torah, committed to Torah, and then Amir Tzashem will take that Torah that survived the Holocaust all the way back to Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash from here, b'yameinu amen.